The first reading is from Isaiah 53. It is the scripture which the Ethiopian was reading when he encountered Philip, as Pastor Rula will be reading from Acts 8. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people.
The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Listen to what the Spirit has to say to us today. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, which Neil just read to us. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." Now the eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, we give you thanks for this encounter that got recorded as part of the story of the church. Help us to open our hearts to what this will mean for each one of us, where you're guiding us to act with love, to break barriers of hate, to include all in the message of love. Help us to be agents of grace. For we pray this in the way of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is our second week when we talk about difference makers and people who made difference in history. And I am thankful that Kay brought up Martin Luther King Jr., as he had such an incredible legacy that he left behind him for all of us to appreciate and enjoy. And as I was thinking of people who make a difference and people who are full of action, I was reminded of this cartoon where it's a Peanuts cartoon. Now they don't do them anymore, but it's one of those classic ones where Lucy is talking to Schrader. Schrader is playing the piano, so use your imagination. He's got his head down. Where's Glenn? He's got his head down, playing the piano, not paying attention, and then Lucy comes in and asks him an important question. Schroeder, do you know what love is? Schroeder looks up and he says, "Love, noun, It is to be fond of, or it is to have affection or attachment to a person or persons. And then he goes back and plays the piano. And then Lucy turns to herself and says, on paper, he's great. In terms of love, in terms of acting on love, it is always easier to have the imagination that you are going to be having, you know, this loving attitude all the time. You know, when we wake up in the morning, I bet none of you wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to yell at my kids. I'm going to be really mean at the store. I'm going to really drive like a maniac. You don't make a list of those things. You wake up in the morning and thinking, you know, you're going to try your best to do and love all the people in your life, even the strangers. But that's not how it works out in daily life. It's kind of hard to practice this faith. It is hard to move from, you know, knowing what love is to actually doing, to know that it is wrong to discriminate against people, but to actually do it. There were a lot of people around the time of Martin Luther King Jr. who knew this was wrong, but did they stand up? Did they speak up? Not really, because it would have cost them a job or a family member. It's very hard to speak up when you see something wrong or you believe in something. It's not always easy to act upon those things where you feel the nudges of the Spirit of God leading you in a good direction or a direction of more love, because action could be costly. Adventures could be costly. And today, as I was thinking about this, I thought of another person that I tend to identify with more than Philip. Now, I love in the story how Philip, you know, in the beginning, the angel of the Lord appears to Philip and then says, Philip, get up. And Philip says, okay, no problem. And I thought of Bilbo Baggins from Lord of the Rings, and the image that comes to my mind is that scene when he has this first encounter with Gandalf, the wizard, the great wizard. Any of you have seen those or read the books, the movies? Okay, a couple of you. So I'll have to do some more explanation here. So the Lord of the Rings, is the idea is that this evil guy, he got a hold of this ring that made him really, really bad, had power, and then abused his power. So Gandalf, who's a wizard, is trying to find people to help him. And in this case, he goes to this hobbit. Now, hobbits are, you know, kind of fictional creatures, and this whole thing is a work of fiction. But the idea is that this hobbit is very comfortable in his life. Likes where he lives, likes what he does every day. You know, life is very predictable and happy, and everything is safe. But then Gandalf shows up at his door and says, you know, I want you to come with me on this adventure. Now, what do you think? How do you think a hobbit would respond? Go away, you know. And actually in the scene it shows us he goes into his house and shuts the door and locks it. Because adventure is not always, I mean, it sounds fun at first, but we all know, especially as we get older, that adventure means letting go of things we hold dear to us, or things that make us feel safe and comfortable, our house or our way of life or our thoughts, the way we think of some people and the way we talk to some people or the way we act. And to let go of that is very, very challenging and very difficult. So it kind of gives you a little bit of a background and appreciation to think, you know, when we read these scripture stories, I think we kind of detach ourselves from the characters. I tend to do that and think, oh yeah, sure, I would do that. And I always remember my friend Ann Emmons, who would always challenge me to say, you know, I don't know if we would have acted differently if we lived at that time. I always wish that I'm on the right side of history. But really, the majority of people were not. And so when you think about, she would often have bring up the example of Nazi Germany. And she would think, you know, I would hope that I was part of the small group of the resistance in the Christian church that didn't believe that it was okay to discriminate against Jews. But she says the statistics are against us. The numbers are against us, because when you look back on history in terms of discrimination, a lot of good Christians didn't speak up and didn't do the right thing. So in order to appreciate what Philip did, I'm making these connections for us to think, this is a guy who just got elected to be a deacon, Neil. And it's not the same Philip. It's not the same Philip that we read about in the Gospels. This is a deacon. He was a Hellenist, a Greek deacon, because they were having a problem. There was some discrimination going on against the Greek Jews and the followers of Jesus, and they were not serving the tables for the widows equally. So the Jewish converts were treated more with generosity than the other, the Greek ones. So they elected 7 deacons, and so this is one of them. Now, deacons, tell us, what do deacons do normally? Do they preach the gospel?
We serve the church.
You serve the church. Usually it's a ministry of compassion, and we tend to think of the deacons as people who are behind the scenes. They're ushering. They're doing some stuff to help, and they do go and preach the gospel, actually, at the nursing home once a month. But most of the time, we tend to think of the deacons as people who are more of the care element of the church, but not so for Philip. Philip feels the Holy Spirit. Before this, he was preaching the gospel and healing people in Samaria. Now, we know how well the Jews and the Samaritans got along. Not very well. So he was already on the edge, and here he gets the call to preach or help this broken man, this Ethiopian eunuch. And Holly and Greg, I was thinking of you because you've been to Ethiopia. Yeah, and tell us, how many people proclaim Christianity in Ethiopia? It's about 45 to 50 million people proclaim Christianity as their faith still today, and it's because of this encounter, and I love it. But we don't see how radical it was for Philip to do that, because first, Ethiopians were black. So there was a prejudice in that culture, believe it or not, at that time. Even in that culture, there was that sense that somehow black people were less human than other people. So here we have a racial issue, but then there's the sexual identity issue. And then here is a eunuch who is usually in the teachings of Deuteronomy and different places in the Bible, they were seen as compromised human beings, so they were not allowed to worship in the temple. That's okay, women were not really allowed, so they were in good company. But they were, you know, as a man, this was a big deal for him to not have that ability. And here he was seeking to worship in the temple in Jerusalem, and scholars tend to tell us that most likely he was not accepted. Then he was reading this scripture about a suffering servant. And you can imagine that, you know, have you ever read a scripture and you said, ha, this is about me. This is my life right now. I am going through this. How did this happen to somebody else? I thought the scripture was really speaking about me, my life. And so he was reading about the suffering servant and he wanted to hear more about it. And Philip comes. Philip comes with this heart of love, of compassion, of care, the heart of a deacon, who comes in and says, you know, yes, I hear you. I hear your pain. And this scripture is about someone who also knew pain firsthand, who didn't believe in power and who did not believe in violence, Jesus. So he tells him the good news of the gospel about the example of Jesus as a suffering servant. Now, imagine the power of that for someone who felt so broken on the inside. He had power, he had money, but he was not seen by society as a good person or a person to look up to because of the oppression he experienced as a eunuch. And here is the message of the good news for him. You're okay, you're loved, and look, Jesus knew about this kind of suffering in his own life. And that's the example that we have of God's grace. Don't think that you are alone. Jesus shows us a different path to love and a different example of the power of God in our lives. So imagine yourself today on that wilderness road, on that call to reach out to someone who is broken in your life. Maybe you're that person who is experiencing brokenness in your life. Who is guiding you? Who is walking with you? Who is showing you the path that you are loved? Think, if the church looked outside in the world, in our daily lives, at those who are struggling, at those who might be needing to be baptized, at the water that they find in their own lives, what would our role be? What is the mission of everyday life for you look like? Consider the example of Philip. Consider how you might be called. There is no great big answer here, but the example of action is really important, because to each one of us, we are given those people in our lives. We might be in those places in our lives. And I find it very interesting that it's easy to talk to people and say, you know, you need to help others. People say, yes, yes. But when people are experiencing difficulty, have you ever had a hard time seeking help? Raise your hand. Come on, admit it. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Why is it hard? Why would we not want to receive help? Why wouldn't we but want to be like the Ethiopian? We don't want to bother anyone, but underneath it, there is an emotional piece.
Oh, you mean we're too proud?
Too proud? Or, yes, not wanting to feel vulnerable. When you feel vulnerable, do you like that? Does it feel good? Doesn't feel good. Why? Because in our culture, we learn from being a child, you know, stop acting like this when they start crying. We learn, we teach that it's not okay to cry in public, and I have a hype till this day. If I start crying in public, I get so mad at myself, like, oh, why did you do that? But it is one of those ways we allow the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives. We allow a Philip to come alongside of us and say, you know what? It's okay. You are loved just as you are on this journey of brokenness. Whatever the eunuch condition might be for you or for that other person. So today I want to invite us to really consider how God is calling us, whether on the receiving end or the giving end of things. Whether you are experiencing brokenness and you need to seek that help. I love that, you know, Philip says, come on in. I mean, the eunuch says, come on in. Jump in the chariot with me. Let's talk. He opened the door for this stranger. He opened the door for this conversation to happen. And so did Philip when he listened to the power of the Holy Spirit. So take a moment. We're going to take a moment of silence. And just let the Holy Spirit open the door for you to consider one person that you may seek help from, or a person that you need to help in your daily life. And we will close this with prayer. God, we thank you for the scriptures, for the stories that inspire us about your love. Help us today, whether we identify ourselves with Philip being called to act, to give your love, or we identify ourselves with the Ethiopian who needed a word of love. In both cases, help us to see the possibilities of more grace in our lives, in our world, to make a difference, to reach out, to receive the gifts of love and to give them freely as we have been freely given and loved. Amen.